Thank you so much. The warmth which the Zedek Shaver Chatzar is known for. I'm familiar with the Baltimore Zedek Shaver Shtiebel, where I'm Zeichet Rabbi Meirovitz Torah. In line with expectation, the three great loves which the Tzaddikim talk about. Avas Hashem, Avas HaTorah, and Avas Yisrael. And the notion that a Yid can only achieve in one of those areas if he or she has all of those areas. Love of Hashem, love of Torah, and unconditional love of every Yid. This is what this shul, this maaser, is all about, and it's a covet and a pleasure to learn here together, to grow here together, be'ezus Hashem. The subject which I'm speaking about is a shir which I have given in the White Shul and several other forums, and appeared in some of my writings, some of the oilam which showed up this morning. Notice some articles which I've written which relate to this theme. And I would say, of any subject, this has drawn the most viral feedback, a tidal wave of feedback. It touches a very sensitive area in our Avodas Hashem. But let me get there. Let's develop. Let's work there together. We are a nation in peril. The Eitz Tzara is not over. The horrors of the Simchas Torah attack a year ago, the October 7th attack, it's still hot. It's still real. And beyond the geopolitics, the anti-Semitism, and suggestions that whether calling for the genocide of Jews is anti-Semitism is a matter of context, that stuff is all a distraction. They always have spoken that way. They always will continue to speak that way till Mashiach comes. That stuff is all a distraction. The earnest Eved Hashem wants to go deeper, wants to make something out of this in our personal growth, in our Avodas Hashem. And I'm going to touch on one dimension. The terrorists, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, who committed these horrible atrocities, did so in the name of God. And secularists will at times say, you see, religion brings man to fanaticism, to do the most horrible things. To us, maminim b'nei maminim, we were the ones who taught the world virtue. Our Yiddishkeit is ennobling. Everything savory in the human condition came from us and came from our Torah. To us, that charge is strange. Misses the mark, not to compare us on that. But perhaps some of us struggle to articulate clearly what we know in our hearts. What is this, the answer to this cruel kinar? You see, atrocities are committed in the name of God. What does that say? The sensitivity of this issue became apparent to me in an exchange which I had with a colleague. It was an average weekday afternoon. After Mincha, we said the standard Kapit Lach Tehillim, which Gantz Klal Yisrael was reciting in the weeks after the Tzara. And the particular Kapitel and Pasuk, which we recited, Shvai Chamoscha Alagayim Ashalei Da'ucha. Rabbeinu Sa'olam, pour out your wrath upon our enemies who don't know you. And he asked me, Asher lo yedu'ucha? They don't know you? They don't know there's a Rabbeinu Sa'olam? That might be true when dealing with other enemies, but these enemies? Belief in God was the basis for their atrocities. How can we say Asher lo yedu'ucha? This fellow's a serious bentira, and that's what he is. And he is such a tyra edela yagama. There was no agenda in his question. There was sincerity in his question. And I felt like his entire tsugah, his entire relationship to the hallowed words in Tehillim hung in balance. The notion that every word of David Nam's Miras Yisrael relates to us and relates to our situation hung in balance here. And it was up to me to restore that neshama connection to Tehillim. So I declared to him in the most emphatic way I could, no. The Hamas terrorists are layaduha indeed. They don't know Hashem. And I proceeded to explain as follows. First critical distinction. Belief in God versus belief in Hashem. They are not the same thing. God is a human conception. However people envision the Almighty Being, that's God to them. He's a hologram of whatever people can see. You know, people have a lot of negias, a lot of bias, and a lot of baggage. Many of us espouse things based on what our background and what we bring to the table. And people can have notions of quote-unquote God, which are colored by them and their perception, which bear no relationship to whom Kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Which is, of course, a difficult question, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu defies all quantification. However, the Svarim HaKadoshim teach us, B'Rayshem D'Ramchal, that while it is true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond conception, the highest conception we can have of Hashem is Tayyumim, the good one who seeks to do good. Love. God is love. We were the ones who taught the world that truth, not other belief systems which espouse that. We'll get there, Baruch Hashem. That is the highest conception we can have of Hashem, a loving being. That is Kiviyachol, the rux and the motivation behind everything which Hashem does. Everything else, including discipline, is always in the advancement of love. And we shouldn't be thrown by the discipline Amidas Hadin. We all can attest, as parents, we are always acting from a place of love. None of us had children because we have a complex that we want to lord over other people, or we want to breathe down people's backs. Merit, demerit. We're here to love, we're here to nurture. Discipline is a critical tool in our toolbox in the interest of love. However, because discipline is only a tool and not what it's about, we only discipline so long as it's helpful in the interest of nurturing the child in the interest of love. If a particular disciplinary tactic is not helpful to this child, but for that matter, if in a given period discipline is not helpful with a given child, any of us would jettison, would throw away discipline in a minute. And the same is true for the Yachol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To quote the Ramchal in Das Tumas, while the modus operandi, the general assumption of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's modus operandi, is that he has a hanhaga, he has an attribute called midas hadin, discipline to enable our ultimate growth, says the Ramchal, Hashem might, at any given point, for reasons known to him alone, cast aside midas hadin, because midas hadin is not really what it's about. I'm intuiting it, you know, with human seichel as a parent. Right? When the parent, the chachmasim, knows, don't tell the children. Right? Let them think that the discipline is always rock solid. But the point is, you're making a judicious decision to discipline. To bring this down in Kabbalistic terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has various shemos, various names. Now, unlike people where names describe essence, you know, my name describes my essence, your name describes your essence. Your Jewish name is depicts the raw stuff of your neshama. A yankel, a shengel, that's who you are in the neshama level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like as the Ramchal writes, he defies any quantification, so names really just describe a behavior, an attribute. Racham, Chanun, he's merciful, and so forth. However, the Mekubalim teach us, there is one name of Kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is called Shem Atzmi. The name of essence. It's the the most core depiction we could have of who he is. And that is Shem Havayim, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which means existence itself. Ha-Yahai-Vav-Yi, existence itself. Well, Chazal tell us that Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, this name, this who he is, existence itself, is the name of Rachel. Whereas others write, for example, the Arachayim and Parshas Va'era, it's Shem Harachem and Bahachem. It's the name of mercy, it's the name of love. You're beginning to appreciate that's who Kiviyachol he is. Elohim, the name of judge, that's a position he occupies. He disciplines when it's advancing the ultimate cause. But who he is? Havaya, Havaya, Havaya. Love, 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 love. Now, there are many misunderstandings in this regard. There are some who misunderstand and some belief systems that misunderstand that love means to baby a person. Oh, I'm here to give you, but you're a baby. What do I mean when I say you're a baby? I'm not going to hold you responsible for your behavior because you really can't make it. I don't respect you that you can make decisions and live with the consequences of your decisions. Your man is not capable. So just believe and you've got a free pass. Love, love, love. That's actually a major insult. You're a baby. You know, it's lahatol all about the abdolos. Our concept of Abba, Hashem loves me and is invested in me. Hashem wants to make great things out of me. And the fact that he holds me to Tariyag Mitzvah and everything which halacha encompasses, that is all his investment to make something big out of me. But it's never about the discipline per se. The discipline is always a that's Yiddishkeit 101. Sadly, there is much confusion on the subject. Perhaps we'll unpack this a bit more if time allows. This has a lot to do with, I have found, baggage from people's childhood. People who felt that adult authority figures in their youth were inherently disciplinary. It's not you love me and you discipline, right? So even if they know b'seichel, even if they know up here, Hashem loves me. But here, you know, what are the longest 10 inches in the world? The 10 inches between the mind and the heart, right? So even if they know up here, all of the theology we've discussed thus far, here, right, they carry those baggage, right? And that's something to move beyond. That's something to seek hadrasa in from someone responsible, someone we can confide in and grow with. That's something to, as with every trauma, something to grow beyond. Be that as it may, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu as love itself, any notion of Hashem which is unloving or inspires behavior which isn't loving is not only a mistake, but rather the most gross adulteration. At a certain point, it's not Hashem anymore. If one believes in an almighty being who's not loving, which includes if they are evoking behavior, which isn't loving, but the type of brutality in the extreme which we are experiencing with these Yamashima monsters, that's not Hashem anymore. And in this regard, I will quote a bold statement of Meir Rabbi Rav Nachum Lansky. He says, the Hamas terrorists are not worshiping Hashem. They're worshiping the Sitra Ah. Because if one's conception of the one being is an evil one, or provoking evil, that's already Sitra Ah. That's Sitra Ah literally means the other side, the force which opposes Kedusha in the world. If one's conception of the almighty being is that they're being over the Sitra Ah, Rav Nachum Lansky, who has a heavy duty Yad and Kabbalah, disavows that their tefillahs bring them any sort of schusim. They've adulterated the Kayach HaTefillah of Yishmael, which Rav Chaim talks about. If one has this concept of that they're not being over him, it's not him anymore. They might call themselves monotheists, But I don't care about monotheism. Monotheism, mono, just means one. Belief in one. But if your one who you believe in is Ra, is evil, that's the tracker. That's not Havayah. That's not love. That's powerful, powerful, bold truth articulated by a Gaon and a Kaddish, which I want every you to know. Our loving conception of Hashem is reflected by all mitzvahs in the Torah when internalized and observed in a healthy, authentic way. Anything which is the alternative is a function of human foibles and human imperfection. And I can attest that this stage in my Shaychus to Torah, any mitzvah or something which strikes one otherwise, I can attest, be mimic in Torah Shabbat Peh, and you'll see it's not what you thought it was. I will most briefly touch on an elephant in the room. I'm going to touch on an elephant in the room. Because when I say this, most people say, oh, but what about Mechiyas Samalek? Right? So I'm not going to give a Hilchos Malachim shiur now. Rabban Hilchos Malachim on Mechiyas Samalek. To do that justice, that's a whole series which I've given in Baltimore. It's a Lamdasha shiur. I'm going to manage. Rega Echad, just touch on it. Because I want every Yid and Yidula to know you can be proud of every ice in the Torah. So I'm going to just briefly, most briefly touch on something. Are you aware? In the emergence of Mechiyas Samalek, in Rishayim and Paiske, the Sefri Darshans, based on the Pesuk in the Parsha Shaiftim, that we are always Paiseach B'Divrei Shalom. When we attack an enemy, we don't engage in a wanton attack. We give an overture of peace. Are you maintaining your declared state of war with the Jewish people? The Rambam paskins this very clearly in Parak Vav, Halacha Dalet of Hilchos Malachim, that this is true of Mechiyas Amalek as well. The Rambam's famous Shita, the Rambam believes that Mechiyas Amalek is only Derech Nechama with the protocols of war. Okay, a lot of Kapulim said on the Rambam in Kamakadim. And the Rambam paskins that Mechamas Rishus, Mechamas Mitzvah, including Mechiyas Amalek, we are always Paseach with the Rishalim. And if Amalek says, we're not in a declared state of war with you anymore, we don't hurt anybody. The Rambam believes they also have to accept Zion Mitzvahs, Zion Mitzvahs' basic moral law. The Raivid might disagree. I in the Kesef Mishnah Shana subtlety, but the notion of the Poseach Kibri Shalom is true of Mechiyas Amalek as well. I'm just going to throw out a marmukim for you. Some of Farshay Rashi are confused by a Rashi in Parsha Shaiftim, which they think is saying otherwise. If you look in Shaiftim, Parakhaf, Pasuk Yud, this Pasuk, He Sikrav El Yerli Lachem Elayah Bekaras El Shalom, the notion of an overture of peace and war, Rashi makes a statement against citing the Sefri that this is talking about Mochamas Rishos, and a voluntary war. Some of Farshay Rashi believe that Rashi saying on the Mochamas Mitzvah like defeating Amalek is not an overture of peace. Look in the Ramban. The Ramban explains that's not what the Sefri means for another discussion. And one word of Ramban, one line of Ramban, the Ramban HaKadosh, in our Messiah, outweighs all the speculation of various Ephraim. The preponderance of Rishayim and Paiskin is clear. Mechiyas Amalek, I guess it's going to happen. B'mher b'yameinu. We're going to confirm. Are you still in a declared state of war with us? No? And sincere, no. You know, we've become savvy, okay? We've learned a thing or two about the false peace. Let's make peace, yeah? And let's make peace again and again and again and again and with Erefei Yimachshima. Okay, but with Yiddish HaSeichel, when we confirm there's peace, okay, we'll be Machna like the Rambam, and we'll make sure that Makabal Zion Mitzvah as well, okay? We're not going to hurt anybody. And when you intuit this to a Western mind, people are blown away by this. Yeah, of course. This is an age-old enemy of the Jewish people. So you're confirming they're not in an ongoing state of war. If they are, we're not shy. We're not pacifists. We're going to defend Klal Yisrael, Shem Hashem, and so on. But this is a very, and the moment I mention this to people, they say, oh. Now, I'm not going to deal with minutia, you know, conventions of war change and how killing non-combatants and so on. This is a subject with the Western world every century swings like a pendulum on, right? And should not trouble anyone. You know, we certainly do not need to engage in apologetics. It's a distraction. It's a red herring if we start to discuss some of those particulars, although I'm happy to discuss it with anyone who's scared by it. The point I'm just using the simplest example of what, so to speak, this existential elephant, your mom, here's, I'm all like, you got Gahad, you have Gahad, no! Anyone who's a London, who learns Alpi Derek Shoran and Mir Rabbi Sainu, is not troubled with the question at all. And it shifts the whole. And if anyone's scared by that, I'm happy to discuss that subject further with them, whether one-on-one, or whether if next time the Olam wants a Hilchos Malachim Shir in the Rambam Alpi Lamdas, I'm happy to do that as well. But let's return to our featured presentation here. Just wanted to make that very clear. This is true of every Halachim Shir. I have my questions, but I am at a stage right now in my Shaychus to Torah where for all the questions I have, the Derechet Archinoim, which resounds from its development in Torah Shel Peh, is so clear, and any misconceptions people have become very quickly dispelled when they're mimic and Torah in an authentic way. Not by searching for sources on Wikipedia, which is not the way to learn anything. That when one learns seriously and develops a sugya seriously, as you were taught to do, as we teach in yeshiva, this becomes very, very clear. Let me return to the Dvar Hashgavah here, which is really what I want to develop. Our loving conception of Hashem, which has only inspired the most ennobling behavior in man, not this stuff. We don't have to be defensive when this secular canard has hurled at us. You see, religion promotes man to violence. Yeah, belief in God can't. Belief in Havaya only espouses the most beautiful, the most ennobling. And this has been true since Avraham Avinu taught the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. I want to develop this with you together. I want to kind of kibiyachal, enter Avraham Avinu's mind. Okay? When you know someone very well, you get them, like you get them on a neshama level. Right? When you really know someone, an intimate relationship in your life, right? You got the core person. Every facet of the person fits right into place. Likewise, when we deal with the giants in the Torah HaKadosh, right? We develop an intimate relationship with Leinu, an intimate relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, to the extent we can be mindful and Torah. We have a deep. So if I would ask you, let's kind of foster a deep neshama relationship to Avraham Avinu. Who's Avraham? If I would give you one vote, who is Avraham Avinu? What does his core mean? What is he really? What would you say? I love to ask this question. I'm only giving one vote, and please do not overthink it. What would the group say?
Chesed.
Right? So we're told Chesed, right? Both in Taras Nigla and Taras Nistar, right? Chesed l'Avram. As it says in Sefer Yetzirah, Hashem told the Midah of Chesed and Shemayim, I don't need you. I have Avram Avinu on earth. He is Chesed itself. So we're told Chesed. Is there something else about Avram that strikes you equally fundamental or not?
True.
Or? Truth or discovering the truth, right? Hick or espoth, discovering the truth, the dogged pursuit of truth to discover Hashem. I'm going to use words hick or espoth, discovery of the Creator, discovery of that great truth. Emuna. I find both of these attributes of Avraham too core. Each one is too fundamental to relegate either of them to rank either as a number two attribute. Right? Avraham is chesed, but Avraham is also Emuna, discovery of Hashem, like that's who he is. I know that. The founder of Machiavellism, the one who was Hickory's bird, taught the truth that Hashem told, like that's not an aspect. It's too core. It's too fundamental. Right? I would be very uncomfortable if I would have to cast a vote between Chesed and Hickory's bird. Which one is it? Both are too fundamental. So which one is it? You'll say it's both. Okay. But on a core level, who is it? I want to ask the question this way. Why was it specifically Avram, the Ish Chesed, who was Hickory's bird? Not Yitzchak is advancing the project further with his Midah of Gvura. Why is that these two are fundamentally linked? The answer is because our entire notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is love. We have the true concept God is love. No one else. So if you, when you realize the truth of Hashem the way Avraham Avinu did, you are the Ishkasev. Because however you envision Elikim, in turn determines what you aspire to be yourself, right? As humans, we are B'Tselem Elikim. We aspire to be great. We aspire to be like the divine. However you envision the divine will in turn determine what you are or aspiring to be. Someone who sees Hashem as a disciplinarian will be fundamentally a rigid creature. They see discipline, they see order, they see right and wrong as the ultimate, what it's all about, right? Avraham Avinu, when he discovered the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on its deepest etzem level, look, that is why Avraham is the Ish Chesed. And I want to bring this out a bit by developing Avraham Avinu's life in the course of his Nisyonos. Right at the inception of the story of Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, the Ribono Shel Olam tells him, leave behind your family, your friends, the place where you grew up, and be willing to travel to a place I will show you. You don't know where you're going, right? Great Nisayon, no? And Hashem tells him, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. What does it mean to go for yourself? So what does Rashi say? Oh, Lahana Asko Taibasta. It's the best thing for you. As Hashem continues, Asko Gagado, Babarecha, Bagadla Shemecha, you will see material blessing, your father, great nation, and so on. It's the best thing for you. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him, do this because it's the best thing for you, it's for your benefit? Why doesn't Hashem say just do it? So you'll look at me and you'll think, what do you mean? That's a klutz kasha, right? Of course Hashem says. Well, Hashem wants to motivate Avraham, no? It was very hard. I mean, if I may humanize it for a minute with the arcane. When Avraham Avinu kissed his mother, what was her name? Amtalah, right? Chazal tells. When he kissed his mother Amtalah goodbye, it must have been excruciatingly difficult. No hope of ever seeing her again. No Zoom, no cell phones, no nothing, right? Just say, yeah, this is very hard to be willing to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem had to motivate him. Yeah? Incentive? Is that how people generally learn? I find that to be a very uncogent mahalik. I even would find that offensive. Hashem is incentivizing Avraham to do something, albeit difficult? This is Avraham Avinu we're talking about here. According to Chazal at this stage, he had already hurled himself into a kishkanaish, a fiery furnace, in his utter devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's ready to do that. Do you think he needs a carrot dangling on the stick, left with us? That can't be the pshat. Rather, I believe the pshat is as follows. Of course Avraham Avinu's got to listen anyway. But Avraham's entire concept of who Hashem is a God of love. Well, let me bring this out further. When we talk about what was so revolutionary about Avraham's monotheistic teaching, Kikaras Bayir, it wasn't simply the mono, it wasn't simply the one. What made paganism and polytheism so horrific was not simply the power, not simply the many. That's a theological untruth. Confining God and making many of them. But you realize the pagan gods, the way the pagan gods were conceived, they were the most cruel, tyrannical beings. I want you to take the worst dictator, not Putin. He's a Shetzler, right? King John. Oh, I want you to take the worst monster you could imagine, okay? The pagan conception of the gods were tyrants of studies who basically were using their power to lord over men. And the concept of avoda, of worship, was basically paying off tributes. Yeah? If you're a farmer and you want your crops to go, you better pay off the god of rain. If you're a married man and you want your wife to conceive, you better pay off the goddess of fertility. Right? These are tyrants who traffic in power. Comes along Avraham Avinu And he says, with this hasaga, the God of Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no needs. He's loving. He's not here to get. He doesn't need anything. He's here to give. He's here to give us bracha, including material bracha, but ultimately the greatest bracha of all, which is what? Dveikus, connection to him, to reach that state of kiviyachla, share consciousness with him, the greatest bliss and the greatest blessing of it all. So Avraham Avinu's entire concept of Hashem is, he's not foisting burdens upon me for him. I don't do anything as a martyr. By the way, for another shear, I do not believe the Sefirot Nefesh means self-sacrifice. Hashem never makes us sacrifice ourselves. The self is never sacrificed. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls upon us to do something, it's not to negate the self, it's to expand the self. Even those who die al Kiddush Hashem, in their eternity, is to reach a greater state for another shear, defining the term of Sefirot Nefesh. Hashem is always calling upon us to make deep investments, hard investments, deep investments in expanding ourselves, never to limit ourselves. And by the way, there's nothing that pains me more than when I see a Jew walking around, a from a yid walking around. How do they say it in Yiddish? Zaydi an iske klap da hishana, like all beat up, like a hishana mishana rabba, right? You know, it's, we are living the best life, a life which is very demanding, but is an investment in achieving the elusive dream of meaning, that most elusive dream of mankind in the most powerful way. And of course we all have hard times, but overall I want us all to radiate that for ourselves, our children, for the world. So for Avraham Avinu to perceive Hashem is telling me to excruciatingly kiss my mother goodbye and left and go, it's for him, it's not for me. That would undercut Avraham's whole concept of Hashem. The fact that even when it's difficult, it's for me, that's underscoring Avraham's entire truth of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's always lecha. It's always for me. And you'll see this, for another shear, you'll see this throughout Avraham Avinu's life, throughout Lech Lecha and Vayera, the concept of schar is stressed again and again and again and again. Schar chahar pin viyod, right? Matitinli, and so it's stressed about 5 times in Parshis Lech Lecha Vayera, and the Parshis struggle, Alti Kevin HaMashamash HaSarav, and so on, is Avraham to schar. The answer is it's not about making a good spiritual business investment. I'm going to get tzchah. It's about our entire concept of Hashem. If Hashem was engaged in this for any reason other than my benefit, Baruch Nisa B'Kashmias, that would undermine my whole notion of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's what it's all about, Lech Lecha. That it's preserving Avraham Avinu's entire concept of who Hashem is. And that's the way he lives, never as a martyr. Hashem loves me, even when difficulties thrown my way. Sometimes it is clear and apparent. You work hard at something, it's very hard, but you reap the dividends, reap the rewards. In truth, in life, oftentimes it is not clear. As we struggle, as we suffer, and everyone in this room is suffering on some level, has suffered, does suffer. At times it is unclear. But the emuna, that this is somehow for me, as each of us, in that very lonely place deep in the neshama, where no one else can relate to us, even a spouse. There's a certain makom pnimius where it's us and Hashem. Even the most well-meaning intimate does not fully get us. That's a great truth. We are all lonely, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only answer, in the deepest, most pnimius take a place. Well, the knowledge in that makom of suffering, that somehow it is all loving because it's coming from Hashem, is the most redemptive notion and is the solution to that deepest issue in the human condition, coming to terms with human suffering. The very logical notion that the 70, 80, maybe 120 years that we are zaycha to experience this mortal journey called life, we are in touch with a very limited part of our consciousness, ourselves. In the most rich truth of immortality of Nitzchias, the notion that there's a much bigger picture, which will be my reality. So, of course, with this very small sliver, I'm not in a position to assess. But one thing I know, that it's loving because it's Hashem at work. That is the Avramic truth. That is Avram Avinu's Amunah. That is Avram Avinu's concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's loving, and Avram Avinu is the Yesh HaChesed who does love to others. It's a truth which evokes love. And if you ever see a person who purports to be an Eved Hashem and is fundamentally cool, it's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. He's limited. There are human limitations. We're all very limited, myself included. Right? But the authenticity of Torah, the love ratings, which does not mean being feeble or being banana spine. No. Clear in the disciplinarian. This is discipline, firm discipline, but all for the purpose of love, just as is true regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I want to bring this out powerfully by returning to the story of Avraham B'Chamash. How Avraham Avinu comes to embrace the truth of a loving Hashem when it's unclear as well. Of course, I'm going to bring up the Akedah, right? That most unfathomable, according to many Rishonim, the 10th and final test. When Hashem seemingly calls upon him to do the unthinkable, right? Listen with your sensitive ear. I always tell this to my Talmidim, tell me this. To really develop a real Chiddush, when we want to go beyond the Baruch stuff, when we really want to develop a core Chiddush, listen to the words with your sensitive ear and see if it evokes something. How does the story of the Akedah start? This is going to reframe the whole Akedah. Kachna es bincha yichitcha she'ahavta es yitzchak v'lech lecha al eretz hamorim. Take your son, your only son, your beloved son Yitzchak, and go for yourself to the land of Moriah and Halei Shamal. Did you notice something? Hashem told him once again, "Lech lecha, go for yourself." It's unbelievable. The term "lech lecha" only appears twice in all of Chumash. The first test of Avraham, "lech lecha mi'aretz hamoritcha," the conjunction "lech lecha," and here regarding the Akedah. There's some splendid deja vu going on here. It's unreal. If we're going to be authentic, we have to translate the Lech Lecha consistently the same way. If we're going to be serious, if we're going to be authentic. If Lech Lecha the first time meant, go for yourself, leave your rank hard as it is, because the pot of gold awaits you on the other side. And that made sense. It must mean the same thing here too. When Hashem says, take your son and do the unthinkable, Hashem says, do it for yourself. It must be what it means. The implications are mind-blowing. Hashem was telling him, don't do this like a martyr. Hashem was telling him, take your son with the knowledge that this is the best thing for you. When you're about to give it all up, and the whole, your love of your son, the entire mitzvah of Klal Yisrael, seemingly in the crosshairs, seemingly about to be shot right down. This is the best thing for you. It's unreal. But that is exactly the point. That is exactly the point. When we all face akedahs in life, indeed, we can't figure out how it could possibly be love. Because we're humans. And Avraham Avinu understood this. He's a human. So based on the pieces he has in front of him, there's no way he can make sense of it. But he doesn't need to understand how it's lecha. He just needs to know it is loving. So I'm going to pursue it. Hard as it is, with the knowledge that this is coming from a loving God. You hear the power of that trenchant read of lecha? It's right there. It's right there. It's the treasure waiting to discover. And let's develop the Akedah story a bit more. One of the most misunderstood stories in all of Chumash. In the end, Avraham Avinu sees exactly that. Lech Lecha. It was totally for his benefit. Because as Rashi says, citing the Medrash, when Hashem told him at the end, when he is about to commit the act, and Hashem stays his hand, Apishlach Yatzal Anah, and Avraham Avinu says, what's going on here? Are you vacillating? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Did I ever say slaughter him? I said, Hallelujah. Elevate him. You elevated him. You put it on the bed. He's Kaitos Kadashim. Your son, he's alive and well. He's thriving. He has all the Halakite of Yitzchak and everything that encompasses and means. You did not lose anything from this. It was totally lecha. Now hold on. Are you going to ask on Rashi, hold on, did Avraham Avinu make a mistake in the beginning? That's not a legitimate possibility. Certainly for us to assess Avraham Avinu, and certainly Chazal hold everything Avraham Avinu did at the time of the Atheida, right? That is the course chus which you cry for in Rosh Hashanah, right? Avraham Avinu made no mistakes at all. Hashem is not criticizing or correcting him, you got it wrong. Appreciate this, my friend. There's a core truth which relates very much to our lives and entire relationship to Hashem here, if we develop this properly. You see, when Hashem throws the mitzvah of the Akedah Avraham Avinu's way, Avraham Avinu only has the tools in front of him. And all human beings only have the limitation of human consciousness. Even Avraham Avinu, with the Hasakas of Avraham Avinu, he's a human being. There was no precedent for an Ola which didn't mean slaughter. So of course Avraham intuited and interpreted correctly based on what he knew at the time. Stam Ola means everything an Ola means, with Shechita and the whole 9 yards. So he did exactly the right thing, which is embrace Hashem's words as best as human beings could understand it. Know that it's somehow loving, even if that totally defies your comprehension. Your job is one thing. Your job is not to make sense out of Hashem. Your job is to plow through the haze. Plow through the haze with the firm amunah that Hashem is loving, and I'm going to do this as best as I can understand it, even if I cannot make sense of how it's loving, but it must go. He plows through the haze. And then in the end, he sees it all comes together. We do our part, and then the moment of clarity, which only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Megala. Yeah, it all makes sense. And you did here. This is exactly what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to show your amunah in love, even when it totally defies human comprehension, and then it all comes together, and you see, you're only thriving because of it. And this, I believe, is the depth of the understanding of the story of the Akedah, which answers all sorts of questions people have. For example, the question of the Ran and the Drashas. The Ran asks, great as the Akedah was, what's really the Nisayon? Hashem says to do something, you frankly don't have any other alternative. Or the question which people ask, was it really a Nisayon for Avraham Avinu, yitted through the ages, or ancestors, not too many generations ago? My great-grandmother was cast to Treblinka. Right, Yidden did this throughout the ages? Yeah, there's no question Avraham was going to do it. The Nisayon of Avraham was not simply to do it, but to do it and with the total amunah that this is loving, not to do it as a martyr, to do it with an amunah that's totally loving, even if you can't understand how, and plow through the haze. And here Avraham models for all of us how to live our lives. We do our part, with that moon he's totally loving, and in the end, it all comes together. Sometimes, as in the case of Avraham Avinu in this lifetime, of course Avraham Avinu is the dogma, the model case in the Chumash, so the exhibition, the display is going to be in real life. Right? Oftentimes, as we know, as I said before, in this limited sliver of consciousness called Olam Hazeh, this mortal journey of 70, 80, maybe 120 years, sometimes it's not. But the firmness of the amunah, in the end, it's all going to come together beautifully. It made such a deep impression on me when a certain tzaddikas, who suffered a huge loss, when she said, Rabbeinu Shalom, listen to what she said, it touched such a deep chord in me. She said, Rabbeinu Shalom, I know if I was on the other side, this is exactly what I would want. Because it's coming from you. I'm on this side. Some say Dianetics, right? The person is Dianetics, but simple truth. This is our loving conception of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And you're beginning to understand to return to a theme I touched on. The revolution of Avraham Avinu's teaching was not simply that there's one God, but the notion that the Almighty is love, that love is what it's all about, and in turn we become loving people based upon Him. And let me bring this out a bit further. I believe when we learn in various Chazal the story of Avraham Avinu's discovery of Hashem through scientific study of the universe, right? We say Avraham is the first religious scientist, right? Right, how do they teach it in Kiev? Avraham is the first religious cosmologist, right? I think there's a nuance, and it's more than a nuance, which Chazal are articulating, which is largely lost. People generally understand Avraham studied the magnificence of the world, the intricacies of the cosmos, the vastness of the cosmos, and realized this is not all random, there must be a source. And this is how people generally understand the Medrash. The Medrash, Parshas Lech Lecha. I'm just going to state it with one gears in the Medrash, right? Moshe Mata Vetayma. Avraham Avinu was Hitzetz Bevira, right? Avraham glanced at the palace. That's this world, vast, intricate, and he said there must be a Baal Avinu. There must be a Manigah. So most people interpret this as what they call the creative design mind, which they teach in Kiyur seminars, Baruch Hashem, even Umas Olam believers teach it. But I want to ask a question. If that's all Chazal meant to convey, Avraham Avinu saw the intricacy of the world and realized, from a perspective of mathematics, quantum physics, and so on, there's no way it could have come to be done. What would be the best mushroom to articulate that? You know, we have some Makarvim here. What is the classic mushroom for creative design? In ancient times and modern times alike. Right, so, I know someone like to volunteer. What are some of the well-known metaphors used for creative design model? So some talk about the watch which was found in the desert. And someone says, hey, this watch, it just came to be. The arms, the springs, the ball just came to be. And you say, yeah, right. I think even more dramatic is the monkey on the typewriter metaphor. Yeah, there was just a monkey on a typewriter. Clicking at some keys, and before you know it, all stories of war and peace comes out the other, and you say, yeah. So it's a very dramatic mashal. Is that all Chazal are conveying with the Bira? What's so significant about the palace metaphor? Avraham saw the world as a palace and said there must have been a master to this palace. You'll forgive me for saying it. If we're simply saying creative design, the monkey and the typewriter actually sounds a lot more exciting than the Bira. And the solution is not that there weren't typewriters invented yet in the days of Chazal. Chazal b'chachmasam ha'gdayla, and with the creative genius of Chazal, could have articulated all the power of that marshal if that's what they wanted. There's something Chazal are fixated in the Bira. You know what it is? A Bira, a palace. That's a place to live. Avraham saw the world as not simply an artistic masterpiece, but as a bira, as a palace, as a beautiful place to live. Hear this, my friends. Hear this very clear. To simply see the bria as a masterpiece of engineering does not make for a loving Rabbi Mishael. I know some engineers who are not loving people. I know some engineers who are. But simply to have engineering capabilities just, okay, you're capable. You're very, very capable. Du bist der Grace of all Kishon. Right? The monkey on a typewriter, creative, and that just brings out the intricacies. There's someone very, very, very capable behind, but that's not the burden of Avraham. Avraham did not just study alone the intricacy of the cosmos. Avraham saw the world as a beautiful house, as a bira, a beautiful place to live. Avraham saw the world was made perfectly for Bnei Adam, for me, to live in. With all the problems in life, which we are all so consumed with. Life is beautiful, and please, let's never become so jaded to lose face of that. I like to ask people, when you say Modani this morning, were you really happy to get up? I hope yes. With all the problems you're facing today. Every breath, I'll call the Shiva, I say this sincerely. It's beautiful. The world is a beautiful place to live. Avram sees in the intricacies of the world not simply Hashem's capability, but Hashem is designing a palace, a bias for me to live in, a vast bias for me to live in. Someone loves me. Some almighty, awesome being cares about me. That's the power of the Bira Mashal. The way I'm learning the Chazal, this is really underscored by the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Pei Tet, which we all know, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, which according to one reading of the Pasuk, the world was built in Chesed. The Bria itself reflects Chesed. Not simply this detached engineer. He did a great job. Chesed is manifest in the very existence of the world. There's Chesed all over the place. He loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me, loves me. Come here. Because I have a loving wife. Because I, everything. I have loving parents. And we all, and our relationships in our life have Chesroinus just as we have Chesroinus. So don't become jaded. But the overall big picture. Right, if I may say it, Chaim HaShoshon, when I was a kid, you could still say it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Not only in the neighborhood, right? Like, all of life, it's beautiful with all the Olam Chesed Yibaneh, right? And I want to share a beautiful revelation with you from this perspective. The lesson of the Pasuk Tehillim Pei Tet. Have you ever wondered why it says Olam Chesed Yibaneh? The world's built in loving kindness? What word would have you used for creation? Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Breathe. Why binyan? Well, I have no doubt. Binyan, a building, an edifice. That's been Meramis Kachazal's Bina. Avram saw not simply a creation. Binyan connotes a bias. Certainly once we're primed by the Medrash, we know exactly why the Pasuk says Olam Chesed Yibaneh. He saw Chesed in the building of this palace to live in, and it gets better than that. It gets better than that. I want to share with you a mind-blowing, simple realization. This pasuk, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, Tehillim Pei Tet, who composed it? Does someone have a sitter at Tehillim in front of them? Right in front of them? And I want, is it okay if I call it a little audience participation? Would you read it? Would you open up Tehillim Pei Tet? Tehillim Pei Tet. The third pasuk in Tehillim Pei Tet is Olam Chesed Yibaneh. How does Tehillim Pei Tet start? Maskil, it's an intelligent serenade. Maskil, le'esan hazrachi. And do you see in the third pasuk, three lines down, is Olam Chesed Yibaneh? You see that clearly? Eichenart? So the words, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, along with the rest of the kapitel, was composed by someone, by one of the mizamrim named Esan Hazrachi. Who is Esan Hazrachi? So the Gemara in Baba Basra, Rashi cites it here, says Esan Zu Avram Avinu. Are you just going to Abbas Esan? Esan Zu Avram Avinu? So hold on! If you put the pieces together, the words Olam Chesed Yibaneh were composed by none other than Avram Avinu. In this pasuk, he gave voice to his entire conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire muscle of the Bira. I believe Chazal got this all from the context of the pasuk. Avram declared Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that there's a building here of loving kindness, there's a Bira, and that there's love manifesting in the world. Don't believe it's simply creative design. Oh, God is very, very capable. That makes for a cold, clinical, uninspiring, unmoving. That's Calvinism, maybe. Right? The furthest hapacha akhra from Yiddishkeit. Right? That's Avram's concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is this truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we so fervently cling to. The concept of a loving God. Which makes any of the atrocities beyond anathema. It's like authentic Yiddishkeit. No one would think for a moment. Yeah, link those guys. Link those who are worshiping Sitra Achra to those who are worshiping love itself. I mentioned that I have found in serious confidantes confided in me, people struggle with this. They ought to know up here that Hashem is love. But deep down here, well, I'm going to put it to you this way. I'm going to ask you a very, very honest question. Don't answer me audibly, okay? But I want you to think this in your Kaddish Kaddash, you and yourself. Lachar Meir Yesir. when you are on the other side. Okay? Because we're all going to be there when our time comes. And kiviyachol, you encounter the parasha. What are the first words you really believe kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to you? Do you believe his first words to you are going to be, were you a good boy? Were you a good girl? I think many people believe that. Oh yeah, he's also love. But instinctually, most viscerally, he's assessing my behavior. I have found this pervasively. And hefty Yifei Hashem, and may we all get there, and I'll seek the Hadracha to get there, in our growth to get there, they know intuitively, of course the first words are going to be, I love you. I was once giving this year, and someone said, do you forget the Gemara and Shabbos? The first words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us in the day. And my response was, we have to learn Agarata like a lambda, the same way we learn Halacha. Hold on here, let's just consider this. Let's consider what's been said. Chazal say, the first words in the din process are going to be these words. Right? These questions. Kavatim l'tayras, prepare your against them. Chazal are identifying the first questions within the din process. They are not saying that the din process is the sum total of the exchange. They already have entered a given covenant. The process of din, which is a process for something oral. Right? I'll elaborate upon that in a second. Right? Within the process of din, within the process of din, what are the most prioritized aspects of the din? They're these. They are by no means telling, they are, right, making subcategories within the category of the din. They're by no means telling me the sum total of my rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a sloppy, inauthentic read. But I have found even well-developed language Torah takes them a few times until the sinks in. It really does. It really does. It really does. In fact, remind me your name, Rabbi? Rabbi Cohn mentioned that he read in one of my articles, he read some responses to the writings where people struggled with this. Yes, it's true, people struggled with it. People reached out to me from all over the world, including in Eretz Yisrael, to discuss this subject. Again, a lot of it has to do with the childhood baggage, which I discussed before. It's very, very real. And let's be honest, perhaps all of us have it to some extent, because adult authority figures are limited people, parents, rabbis, teachers, great as they are. Great. And when I simply tell people, learn the Chazalim of Din, in a responsible way with the broader picture of our Baal Yisrael, right? So I'll, for example, show them some of the most hair-raising depictions of the Din in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which seem to imply like total doom, and pull out a piece of the Rama Mikanu in the Asar Mamar. In the Asar Mamar, he labors to explain how it's a stage within the greater redemptive cycle. But that basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was invested, right? Remember that law under George W., no child left behind? No, you left behind. This Gilgal, another Gilgal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was invested in every yid. He loves us too much. Eternal damnation is really not something we believe in, right? It's a question of this Gilgal, another one, another one, another one. If he wants us to get there by dint of our own growth and so on and so forth, we discussed before. Right, as the Ramchal says, it's almost unheard of that a yid is not going to make it in the end. Almost. Paint your caricature, your Rav Benavat caricature of who he's saying, kemat, okay, it's not for me to determine. But, right? What I imagine is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I love you. Please just don't make it too difficult. Right? The more we're Oyral with saying, we're making it more difficult. And more Gagulim, and more purging necessary. Right? To use the muscle of Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, it's the helpful muscle to people who struggle with Gehenna. He compared Gehenna to chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is painful. But for someone who needs it, it's the most welcoming, curative, cathartic, process. That's what Gehenna is. Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu hurt me for a moment? Hashem would hurt me? And I want to be saying me, as they taught that. M-E, vis-a-vis yourself. Would he ever hurt me? I find it even more powerful to use the muscle in mental health. A good therapist dealing with helping a patient, client, deal with issues in a real, direct way will at times uncover traumas of the past, and the reliving of the trauma is excruciating, but the road to recovery, as opposed to if we dance around it. But that's the best human muscle I can have for Alpi, what I've learned in Svar, Svar Makdashim Akadah. Now, this does not require any of the, you know, there have been various speakers who've become controversial, who've tried to downplay Einstein and downplay Nida Hadin, and they've gotten themselves in trouble. You understand? There's no need to be defensive, you know, there's no need to be defensive or downplay. Just be authentic about it. Life is hard. Ba'alma Hadena, ba'alma ta'asi, it's complicated. Life is complicated, and there's real suffering is real. But the notion that it's loving and it's to reach a loving goal, that's the great game changer. That is the great game changer. There's a lot more to say here. A lot more to say here. But the clock is wagging its wretched finger at me. So I accept the muscle. Let me just take this full circle. Did I make anyone uncomfortable this morning? In my assessment of us and them, even the notion of comparing, engaging in some sort of comparison between us and the two-legged monsters and what we believe, just even the notion of comparison, did that irritate anyone? I hope it did. Of course it's irritating to even, as I told you, when this Talmud asked me that question about Shaloya Deluha, I felt it was necessary, but of course it's irritating. I want to show you in conclusion how the Torah HaKadosha does this. And really impress upon you in conclusion how if we're not careful, Yiddishkeit could be adulterated so easily. And everything which is the most beautiful, the most ennobling, everything which is that Torah HaKadosha, our entire conception of Hashem, and discipline for the sake of love, and all of that can be so easily distorted. Listen to the following pasuk, and we'll conclude with this. The pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, when it's speaking of Kibush Haaretz, call yourselves going to enter the land, and they'll encounter the Canaanim and the Getchkas of the Canaanim and so forth. So it says, Devarim, Parak Yabez, it says, Pasuk Lamed, Hishama Lacha Pantinaka Shachreim, and so on and so forth, to say, Echa Yavdin Agoy Ne'elas Eliheyan, the Asagat Kam Kinani. Don't do that. Don't start researching. Right? Continues Pasuk Lamed Aleph. As per Chazal. Waisatzen Kein Lashem Elekecha. Don't serve Hashem the way the Canaanim serve their gods. Kikol Tayavas Hashem, Kikol Tayavas Yudke Vodke. No, Kikol Tayavas Yudke Vodke, Asher Stunning, Usulelehe. Everything abominable to Havaya they do to their gods. Kigamas the Messiah, Mas the Messiah, Yisra from Beishlelehe, and they burn their children alive for their gatchkas. Be careful you don't do that vis a vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to have to go away, and you're going to see Canaanim, and you're going to see what they do, and they're burning their daughters alive. Right? Mutilating children. Be careful you don't do that vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't learn from the Canaan. And we all read the Pasuk. We all read the Pasuk. You know, Kriya Satara, Parshas Re'eh. Like, no. How do we deal with this Pasuk? The Pasuk, the Torah HaKadosha feels a need to warn me? Don't serve Hashem the way the Canaan serve their gods and the most hideous, cruel ways, child sacrifice. And it's all the more troubling when we're learning Teres HaTeres Chaim, speaking to us for eternity. Speaking to us Yidden and Hetav Shempei, hey, no less than in ancient times. You'll say, oh, it's a relic of the old world, a relic of the pagan world where people did that. But you've just rendered a pasuk irrelevant to me and you, which is impossibility. That's an act. I don't believe any. We have to be creative. We have to intuit. But the meaning, the message is always equally there. What relevance does that have to us in a world where no one, certainly the Western world, burns their children alive? How is the pasuk talking to me like Samson came? So applying it to us, I believe the pasuk is saying as follows. There are people who have cruel notions of God, who have notions of an Almighty that are harsh and demean the human condition. It can be over the top and extreme, as with the Canaanim burning children alive. It can apply to the two-legged monsters who committed the brutality against Klal Yisrael. And of course, none of us are going to actually do that. Chalila v'chas, come on. But as we begun to touch on this morning, ever so subliminally, ever so subtly, harsh notions of God which come from the Umas HaOilam. It's not even chaz or trink. It's worse than chaz. It's a nikasitra achra ad up to the yachra. That their notions can ever so subliminally creep in. Like fast and king lasham li kafra. Well, you're capable. Called us as our son of Yudkei Vavkei. It is the in the conception of Avram's Yudkei Vavkei of Chesed that we so fervently cling. May we all be Zaycha to live a healthy, authentic Yiddishkeit, a loving Yiddishkeit for ourselves, for our Kinderloch, for the world to see how this is the most beautiful life, the most beautiful reality to be part of. Thank you very much to the Chicago Torah Center, to the Rebbe Shlita. Thank you everyone for your warm welcome. Afreilach and Hanukkah, and a good chayitish. May we all see Yeshua and Nechamas. Thank you very much.